Good morning, guys. How we doing? Happy Sunday. Everyone good? You guys good? Awesome. Merry Christmas. As Jeff said, I get to teach on peace today as our theme for Advent. And one word, what I want to explore this morning is the word in Hebrew for peace, which is shalom, which is actually a greeting, how people greet each other. If we were in Israel right now, you would actually greet someone by saying shalom, peace be with you. So we're actually going to try that this morning. I'm going to say shalom to you guys, and you guys are going to say it back to me. Can we try that? Shalom. Beautiful. Did that feel good? Is that good? Well, the reason why I wanted to extend peace to each other, I just think that is such a beautiful way of greeting one another. And this week, I was really mindful as I was thinking about what kind of state I was in. If I was feeling peace, I was asking people how they were feeling this week. Greeting like I just did with you guys, how you doing? How you feeling? And the most common answer I got when asking that to people this week was, I'm busy. Anyone feel busy this time of year? I think we're all a little busy. Right now, there's so much going on, and yet, when I think of busyness, that's not exactly the feeling of peace. I think in some ways, we glorify busyness nowadays. It's, oh, if I'm busy, it means I have so much going on, I'm crushing it. And yet, it's in some ways, too, busyness can be this lack of stillness that we have on the inside. It's there's so much going on that we actually don't have time to come back to our interior life. And so I want us to be mindful of that this morning, because when I think of the different themes for Advent, so Jeff spoke about hope last week. During this time of year, I feel lots of hope. I look forward to Christmas. I look forward to this time of year. I look forward to spending time with Jesus, to celebrating just all the goodness around the holiday. So I'm always feeling hope. I'm definitely feeling joy. This is a joyful time of year. I feel like the childlike wonder that I once had gets reawakened this time of year. I feel so much joy. We had hospitality night this past Friday, and it was Christmas carols and cookies and kids running around, and so joy was very present. And then I feel lots of love. I look around at our church family right now. I look around at my own family and my friends and the time together, and my heart swells with love this time of year. But then I think about peace. This feeling of peace, and with all that's going on, as I was checking in with myself and preparing this message this week, I don't necessarily feel peace. I don't feel this calmness. I feel like there is so much going on that it's hard to come back to that. And what I mean by that is I just don't know if while everything is heightened this time of year, including our joy, I also feel like our anxiety and stresses can also be heightened. And so I thought maybe I was alone in that, and I looked up some research and some studies, and the American Psychological Association ran a survey over the last 5 years to ask Americans how they feel this time of year, and 89% of Americans state that they feel more stress during the holidays. So that's 9 in 10 of us in here feeling a heightened sense of stress this time of year. And no wonder there's so much to do, and yet it almost feels like time is running out, like the shot clock is ticking. I don't know about you guys, sometimes I feel like money's a little tight this year, but I still want to get great gifts for my family. Or, you know, we had a late Thanksgiving this year. You want to get all of your decorations out as soon as possible. You want to make the house look great. You want the lights to look good, maybe a little bit better than the neighbor next door. You want to make sure that, like, everything is flashy and looks great. I'm sure everyone's got Christmas parties to attend, or maybe you're having people over and you want the house to look perfect. Or you got another ugly Christmas sweater party to get to, and you lost yours from last year, and now you got to order another one on Amazon. There is so much to do, and we're getting presents, and we're wrapping presents, and we're taking Christmas photos and sending the Christmas cards out, and it just feels like there is a lot to do this time of year. And don't get me wrong, I love it all. Don't mishear me on that. I love all of this with Christmas. And yet there's so much busyness that I feel like it can distract us from what it's all about. Corrie ten Boom said this, and this really struck me. It said, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. If the devil can't make you sin, he will make you busy. And isn't that what's happened to Christmas in some ways in modern America? What begins as a celebration of divine peace, what begins as a time that should be all around peace, has evolved into a season of endless doing, more shopping, more comparing, more striving. And yet our hearts are still restless and long for this peace. I feel that the modern world in some ways is often at war with our interior life. John Mark Comer, who wrote a book on this, just said this simply, and this struck me. He said, hurry is violence against the soul. And if I could be honest with you guys, I felt a little bit of that violence this morning. As I'm preparing this morning for a message on peace, of course, I want to be feeling in a peaceful state, but I'm rushing around this morning. I get up early, and of course, I got a shower, and I want to meditate, and I want to read some of these passages over myself this morning, and I'm making coffee, and I'm rushing from each thing, from one thing to the next. And I don't know if you guys are like me. Do you ever feel like your mind is two steps ahead of where your body's at? You feel like you're there's so much going on, and I'm two steps ahead of where I'm supposed to be. And so that's what I was doing this morning. And I had my coffee, and I was wearing a white shirt that I planned to wear today. And happened to, just as I'm rushing around, spill coffee on my white shirt. And I'm sure we've all had that moment where you're just like, oh no, like, not today. Like, come on, not today. And I looked down and I felt like immediately that kind of like sense of overwhelm, like, gosh darn it, I can't believe this happened. And then in that moment, I felt God's grace and sweetness and somehow his humor and irony of winking at me saying, bro, slow down. Don't you remember what you're preaching on this morning? He has a funny way of doing that for us. As I'm rushing around, he's saying, hey, your coffee with me in the morning, that is our peaceful time together. Slow down. That's what it's all about. So again, I was reminded of how I feel this lack of peace this morning. And so look, as I open this sermon, I know this might feel a little cynical for me to start, but bear with me. The reason why I share this, all of this stuff that's happening around Christmas is beautiful, but that's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about God seeking us. He comes to us. Christmas is about King Jesus and how he came for us 2,000 years ago, and he is still coming for us today. He desires for us to be at peace. Jesus is shalom. For you, for me, for our little church. And here's my hope this morning, guys, that we might realign our priorities and our affections this Christmas so that we might feel a deep inner calm and a deep inner peace that would allow us to be peacemakers, that would allow us to be shalom in a time such as this. So I'm going to open us with just kind of a classic Christmas verse from Isaiah 9:6. This is Isaiah prophesying about the Messiah who is to come. And he says, for a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us. And the government will be on his shoulders, not on our shoulders, on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Peace is a person. And that's what I want us to be mindful of this morning. I want to point to some passages today that remind us that Jesus is peace, that he offers us peace. And then the third thing, and this is going to be key for us, that I want us to really get around today, is that he offers us this peace, and where we struggle sometimes is we don't always accept it. At times we resist what he is giving us, but when we can accept this as a gift, we not only make peace with God, we become peacemakers in the kingdom. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. If you guys will, everyone tracking with me, if we can move into this. And I'm just excited to show us all how Jesus is peace, how he is our shalom. And so I mentioned that shalom is the Hebrew word for peace, but it's a much more expansive and really comprehensive and beautiful word than what I feel like our English definition of peace is almost a little shallow, if I could be honest. It's the dictionary has it defined as just freedom from disturbance, or a period in which there is no war. So just absence of conflict. And yet shalom is more like the presence of something greater. Shalom is more about fragmented things coming together in wholeness, in completeness. Throughout scripture, it's even actually been referenced as like a stone wall that all the bricks are lined up together perfectly. There is no gaps. Shalom is wholeness. So why I think that's important for us is it's not just simply absence of conflict. When we look at Jesus as shalom, Jesus didn't just come and sit on the Mount of Olives meditating all zenned out and kind of stay to himself in an enlightened state. Jesus entered into the most dark, chaotic, and broken places, and he brought peace. He brought shalom. Have you ever been around somebody like this? Have you ever been around a person that things could be chaotic or stressful, and you just come around that person and things just kind of calm down? Jeff had a beautiful illustration on this a couple months back on how there was chaos on the soccer pitch and there was like one veteran player who they pass the ball to and it's like everything calms down. And that is what Jesus can be for us. I know for me, when things are hectic in my life, I give my dad a call and all of a sudden my nervous system just kind of feels more at ease. And so Jesus is offering us this all the time. And so I want to point to some passages this morning. I just have three short passages that I want to really open our eyes to the fact that Jesus is calm, and not in the way that I was saying in terms of absence of conflict, but how he is calm in the midst of it. And so the first one that I'm sure many of us are familiar with is when Jesus calms the storm. This is Mark 4:37. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. He was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. Yeah, that's Jesus asleep during the storm. That is how calm he was. So they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Silence, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" My first point here is that peace comes from faith. They were stressed, they were worried, they were chaotic because they had lost faith in who they were with. Peace comes from knowing that God is in control. Even in the midst of the storms, when everything is chaotic, he enters into the storms of life with us. And that is what can bring us peace. And what I love about this story, what I try to think of, is the disciples are in the boat moving along the water. This is much like you and me, disciples of Jesus, moving through the world. And storms are going to come. The wind and the waves are going to come up in all of our lives. We all experience that. And yet Jesus is in the boat with them. And I think oftentimes we forget that he is in the boat with us. And I really, as I was preparing the message this week, I thought about how at times I feel like Jesus is asleep while these storms are raising up in my life. But it's actually that I'm allowing him to be asleep, that I actually need to reawaken the Christ within me. And that is what calms the storm. He is there in the boat with us. We find our peace when we actually turn to him and remember that. Okay, second story. When Jesus is betrayed, he's handed over and arrested. This is in Matthew 26:50. Then they came up, took hold of Jesus, and arrested him. At that moment, one of those with Jesus, who we know to be Peter, reached out his hand and drew his sword. He struck the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. Then Jesus told him, "Put your sword back in its place, because all who take up the sword will perish by the sword." I'm going to read that last quote one more time because I would almost love to preach a sermon just on this quote. "Put your sword back in its place, because all who take up the sword will perish by the sword." See Peter in this situation. When we are not at peace with ourselves, when we are not at peace with God, the immediate reaction is to point at others, is to react, is to attack in some ways. A need to lash out and assert ourselves or project our insufficiency onto someone else because we're not sure what to do. And yet Jesus is saying, no, 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 put away your sword. Jesus' peace is in self-restraint, where he doesn't need to assert himself. He doesn't need to be right to do what is right. In many ways, this isn't a passive thing, but Jesus is accepting what is. He knows that this needs to happen before he goes to the cross. And so peace doesn't look like revenge, doesn't look like bitterness. It looks like forgiveness and acceptance with what is. And my last example here, for any of my type A people in here who might be able to relate to this one, for when we might feel that we would just attain peace by doing, by getting everything done, then we will feel peace. Well, let's look to the story of Mary and Martha in Luke 10:38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." He's saying to Martha, you're trying to find peace with all of your doing and all of your striving, and you're worried and upset about it all. Yet only one thing is needed. He is saying, slow down. It's time with me. All of these things you're worried about, if you realize if you would just turn to me and be present with me, all of this that you're worried about will take care of itself. Spend time with Jesus in the present moment, and your byproduct will be a peaceful state that only one thing is needed, and that is time with him. And so I wanted to share these with you all this morning because I love just picturing Jesus in these scenes, because many of the scenes we read in the Gospels can honestly be horrific and intense, and yet his calmness and state of being actually makes them feel not that way at all. It feels like everything is going to be okay, which is so helpful for us. And I wanted to invite you guys into this kind of thought this morning. If you could describe Jesus in one word, how would you describe him? I want you to maybe think of a word that comes to mind. For me, there's so many. It could be bold, courageous, compassionate, loving, merciful, calm. When Dallas Willard was once asked this, theologian and pastor Dallas Willard, they asked him, if you could describe Jesus in one word, how would you describe him? And he took a moment and paused, and he just said, wait for it, relaxed. And I loved that. When I heard that, it really almost shaped the way that I started to read Jesus in the Gospels moving forward. He has this relaxed nature to him, and not in a relaxed way of like he's sitting in a barca lounger, like eating bonbons, just chilling. He is relaxed in the midst of total chaos, because we know that his life was not easy. His circumstances were not favorable. He was constantly being persecuted and pursued and challenged. And so this is helpful for us, church, because this shows us that peace is not found in circumstances, but it is an internal work. Jesus's peace came from a deeper knowing and understanding that despite what was happening around him, he was completely connected to his Father. His peace was a byproduct of his relationship to his Heavenly Father. And you might be saying, well, of course, Travis, that's Jesus. He was Son of God. Of course he was going to have this relationship with the Father. No wonder he had this peace. Well, I have good news for us today, church, because he offers us the exact same thing. He offers us himself. My second point this morning that I want to point us to is in John chapter 14. There is, if you're looking for some reading to be encouraged, John 14 through 17 is Jesus' last moments with his disciples the night before he goes to the cross. This is so helpful for you and I as disciples of Jesus who are following him to remember that he has specific conversation with them before he leaves, like, hey, this is what I need you to know. This is what I am leaving you with. And so I want to point us to this morning as an encouragement and a reminder for us of how Jesus leaves you and I. And I'll start in verse 18, John 14, 18. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Okay, so he's saying in the same way that I am in my Father, in this peaceful relationship that he had with the Father, he is now saying to us that we are in him and he is in us. This is awesome news for you and me. Jesus, you're telling me that I can have the peace that you have. That's exactly what he says. And just a little bit further down the page in John 14, 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled or fearful. Is anyone coming in here this morning with a heart that might be troubled or anxious or fearful? He's saying, my peace I give to you. But notice how he's saying it. He's not commanding us to manufacture peace through willpower or through our own positive thinking. He's offering us his peace. He's giving us himself. The same peace that let him sleep in a storm, the same peace that steadied him in the face of betrayal, the same peace that carries him all the way to the cross. But if we could be honest, how many of us are actually experiencing that right now? It sounds wonderful, and I don't know about you, my heart still feels troubled. Why? Why? Well, perhaps we're looking for peace in the wrong places. Maybe some of us are waiting for peace once our bank account hits a certain number. Once you get that promotion or salary increase, once you just make enough money, then you'll be at peace. Maybe once you move to that new neighborhood or your house is finally remodeled. Or maybe it's when you finally look a certain way. Or here's one that I think is really common now. Maybe it's just when we can numb everything out. Maybe it's when the workday is over, the kids are finally in bed, and I can just tune out on my phone and look at social media or binge watch Netflix, then I'll be at peace. Or here's one that hits for me. Maybe it's when I find that person, that thing that's missing from my life, then I'll be at peace. But these are all what Jesus called peace that the world gives. Temporary, conditional, fragile. And so the uncomfortable truth is I spend far more time chasing after the world's peace and only moments of my day seeking the peace that he offers me. And then I wonder why my heart feels troubled. But accepting the unconditional peace he offers as grace, as a gift, I don't know about you, that's where I struggle. I struggle to accept this because, like the conditional things of this world, it makes more sense for us when there's a conditional exchange. I do this and you give me this. If I just do the right things, then you give me peace. And God's saying, no, I give freely. My peace I give to you unconditionally. That's where it's different. And I don't always receive that. It's like a perfectly wrapped present that's sitting there under the tree, just waiting to be opened. And I'm like messing around with all the little things in the stocking. He's saying, open this gift I have for you. I have a little story that I'll share with you guys to just show at times how our stubbornness can in some ways resist the obvious thing that is offered to us. So I just happened to be in Kauai a couple weeks ago, and it was beautiful out there, and I was swimming in the ocean, and I got pushed onto a section of dry reef on the far side of a wave and shallow kind of reef break, and I ended up smacking my hand on a sea urchin. Sea urchin spines all over my hand, and I finally got to shore, and they were fine. I got as many of them out as I could, and I honestly didn't really think much of it. I was like, it was painful at first, but didn't really think anything of it. And then a week later, my hand's starting to like get a little stiff and tense up a little bit, and I kind of know that something's off, but I'm like, it'll be fine. I like look up on the internet and didn't really get much information, so I was like, okay, I'll be okay. And then one more week goes by, and now my hand is completely swollen and red. And I realize I have a bit of a problem. But here's a little insight into me and maybe some of the sin in me. I struggle going to the doctor. I am very resistant and maybe have a lack of trust in going to the doctor at times. Again, this is my problem. And I don't like taking medicine. And so I was doing everything I could to not go to the doctor. Again, the internet could not give me any more answers on why my hand was red and swollen. So I finally got to a point where I'm like, okay, I will go. So I went to an urgent care. And he ends up pulling out some of the spines that were deep in my hand still. And he says, well, your hand is clearly infected. You're going to need to take some antibiotics to clear that infection. And I kind of turned to him and I said, Doc, I really don't like taking medicine. Is there any other way? And he paused for a moment and kind of just looked at me with this like sly look like, is it worth losing your hand over? Take the antibiotics. And it kind of hit me in that moment. Like my blindness to my resistance to taking medicine is, he said, you could lose your hand over if you don't listen and pay attention to what I'm trying to tell you here. And as I walked out of that doctor's office, it just struck me. It was like God showing me, how many times am I offering you my grace and my peace and you are trying to do it your way? You're resisting this thing that I'm offering you and it's right there in front of you. And so I did take the antibiotics, by the way. My hand is still not in the best shape, but we're getting there. So anyways, that really struck me. And so the reason I share that is, look, our lack of peace isn't primarily just our circumstances. That it actually goes deeper than that. Our lack of peace often comes from that we are in some ways fractured in our relationship to our Creator. We often choose our way. And look, Jesus knows this. He says in the next verse in John 14, I have told you now that before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe. How brilliant is that? He's saying, look, I know you're going to choose your own way. I'm telling you now so that you can believe. But then he knows he's got to go to the cross. He says, I will not talk with you much longer because the ruler of the world is coming. He has no power over me. Okay, so the ruler of the world is coming. This is now getting interesting because Jesus is, of course, referring to Satan, saying he is coming and this will challenge and distract you. And we see this played out from the very beginning in the garden in Genesis 1. There was perfect shalom, perfect peace, perfect union with the Creator. And we see the serpent and the enemy who separates us from God's shalom. Sin has broken our connection to the source of peace by leading us to try to find it somewhere outside of him. And look, the ruler of this world, the enemy, does have authority to tempt and separate and distract. The ruler of this world can make us busy so much that we might forget who our Creator is. But listen to me, church, if there's one thing we can remember this morning, he has no power over Jesus. And here is where we place our hope. Just as Jesus declared to his disciples, the ruler of this world has no power over me. The enemy has no power over God's plan to restore us to himself. Jesus wasn't born just so that we would have peace and calm moments. He was born to reconnect us to the Father. The perfect peace we long for is found in being restored to the Prince of Peace himself. And if you're sitting here going, okay, I'm trying to understand that, or I intellectually understand that, but I don't always feel that, you're not alone. And yet Paul gives us this in Philippians 4. He says, the peace of God surpasses all knowledge. Meaning, my intellectual and egoic mind can try to understand this, but yet the peace of God is something that actually is deeper than all of this understanding that I can do intellectually, that I actually have to invite it in and let it wash over me, that this understanding is actually just a receiving this gift that's given to me with faith. Letting it pierce your heart, letting it calm your soul. I have to quote some C.S. Lewis this morning, and I love this one. I don't have to, but I just would like to. So. Sorry, as I look to Jeff. He's my favorite author, too. So, if you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you must get into the water. If you want joy, power, peace, eternal life, you must get close to or even into the thing that has them. So this is not just head knowledge, this peace we're talking about. He's saying, don't just know about me, invite me in. Spend time with me. So here's a crazy idea during all the busyness during Christmas. What if instead of praying for just circumstances to change, which isn't bad, by the way, pray for your circumstances, pray for things in your life, but what if we just asked him for peace? What if we just asked him for shalom in our hearts so that we might move through the world with peace? Because peace doesn't come from a change in our circumstances. I think what we're learning here is peace comes from a change in our heart. And it must be supernatural. It must be, because I know that I was feeling zero peace yesterday, and yet this morning there's something different. There's a supernatural peace that's overcome my spirit, and it wasn't by anything that I did, it was by what he has done. And so Paul says this in Romans 5. He says, 5:1, he says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Now, that is very dense Pauline wordiness in Romans, but essentially what he is saying here, the thing I want us to kind of double click on is, we have been justified through faith, meaning we are restored back to God. We have shalom. We have peace with God once we place our faith in Jesus. We are restored. Shalom is here now. That's what he means when he's saying you are justified by faith. You have peace with the Father. We don't have peace because of anything we do, but because of what he has done. Which leads me to my final point. When we receive this gift, when we let this wash over us, when we let him fill our peace, when we become peace, we then become a part of the shalom. We can be peace for others. He restores and fills the gaps in our individual hearts so that we might be able to go do that in our communities and families, in our church, and in the world. This is how shalom comes back. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And so, little church, I want us to think about that this morning as we think about how we invite him in so that we might feel his peace, how we might feel that and then move into different areas in our life these next couple weeks. Could that be with family? Could we be the person who brings calm to a holiday gathering? At work, could we be someone who is honest and accepting, maybe someone who de-escalates conflict instead of gossiping? In our communities, can we build bridges where maybe others build walls? And lastly, I think this one's really important. In our own hearts, can we let go of resentments or any bitterness we have and choose forgiveness? We become the living examples of shalom in a broken world, not by avoiding conflict, but by entering into it with a heart that is being formed and renewed by the love of Christ. I'm sure Toby mentioned how beautiful the sunsets and sunrises have been these last couple weeks. It's been so beautiful here in Laguna. If you guys have been going out to the water, I've been spending a lot of time even just preparing for this, seeking peace, looking out at the water. And if you've noticed, there's been hardly any wind and hardly any swell. So the water's been like almost a lake here in Laguna. It's been stunning. It almost has this sparkle and like shimmer in the winter that's a little bit different. And it got me thinking about the calmness of the water. The light reflects off of it a little bit differently that gives it that extra sparkle and that extra shimmer. And as I was sitting there looking out, I was thinking, oh God, this is how you shine through us when we are calm and when we are at peace with you. There's a certain way that you shine through us to others that has a little bit of a different sparkle, a little bit of a different shimmer. We become that presence and shimmer for others when we feel his peace. Our last verse of the morning just comes from John 1:9. It says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." The true light has come into the world. So this Christmas season, many of us will surround ourselves with symbols of peace while we are all overly busy and overwhelmed with all of what's going on. And I just want to remind us that first Christmas when Jesus came wasn't peaceful in the way that we might imagine. It was messy, uncertain, far from perfect, in a dirty manger in Bethlehem. Yet into that chaos, true peace was born. And that's still how peace comes to us today. Jesus doesn't wait for our lives to be perfectly arranged before he offers us shalom. He comes into our messy relationships, our financial stress, our holiday anxiety, not to just simply calm the surface of our lives, but to go deeper, to make us whole. So if you're in here today and you're feeling this holiday anxiety and you're feeling like in some ways you don't have it all figured out, or maybe this year it looks different than you thought it would, or maybe someone's not going to be at Christmas this year, or maybe you can't afford the things you thought that you would want, he's saying, it's okay. This is exactly where I meet you. And to those who would receive him, to those who would turn to him in the moment and feel his presence, we will be called children of God, peacemakers. A couple questions for us. I just have two of them this morning for us to reflect on as we move into this week. Where in your life right now are you seeking peace the world's way? Through control, busyness, or avoidance, rather than turning to and receiving Christ's peace. Second one is, just as Jesus entered into broken situations and brought shalom, where is he inviting you to be a peacemaker this Christmas season? I can think of one for myself right now. Is there a relationship or situation where you could bring his peace rather than adding to the tension? As we embrace Advent, little church, I just want to, the reason why I wanted to bring this up and what an honor it is to preach this word this morning is I wanted to invite us to a different kind of preparation this Christmas. Not the frantic kind that leaves us feeling exhausted, but the kind that brings shalom. So this week, I'm a bit of a challenger. I like challenges, so I'm going to challenge us to three things. First one will be, could we maybe take, as a church, take 10 minutes every morning before you start your day, maybe before you rush to your phone or to your emails or to all the things you have to do that day, and maybe just spend 10 minutes seeking the Prince of Peace. Spend some time with him. Seek his presence. Ask for him to enter into your heart. Maybe starting your day that way. We do this thing with the youth called Rise for Refuge on Tuesdays, and it's pretty amazing. We have about 20 to 30 kids wake up at 6:30 in the morning before they go to school, and we meet down at Brook Street at 7 a.m., and really that's what we do is we look out at the ocean, we sit in silence, we read a passage, and we pray, and we invite God's peace into our hearts to start that morning. And probably my favorite moments of every week are throughout Tuesday, I'll get three or four text messages that come through of students just saying, I feel different today. Or I felt so calm during my test. I don't know why. Or just today, I felt so much better. And so as we're shepherding our students into this forsaking anxiety and being present with the Lord, could we do the same 10 minutes every morning with the Prince of Peace? Second, can we identify one situation where maybe you're seeking peace in the world's way? I listed a few, but maybe think about where are you seeking peace outside of God? And could you name that thing and then surrender it to him? Rather than continuing to strive for it, would you just give it to Jesus and see and let him fill you with that peace that you long for? And finally, could you choose one relationship or situation where you can bring shalom to this Christmas? Maybe it's that family gathering you're dreading or a situation at work or that broken relationship. And instead of adding to the tension, ask yourself, can I bring Christ shalom into this? Little church, look, there will be storms, there's going to be chaos, there's going to be busyness, and look, Christmas is going to be awesome. It's going to be beautiful, but I just know that there's a lot of other stuff going on too. Will we keep trying to calm these storms ourselves, or will we wake up the Prince of Peace who is in our boat with us? So as you leave here today, remember, true peace isn't found in perfectly wrapped presents or perfectly planned gatherings. It's found in the perfect love of a Savior who looks at our fragmented lives and enters in to heal us, to make us whole, to bring shalom. And he says this to us. These are his final words to his disciples, John 16:33. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. If everyone would please stand with me, I'm going to just leave us with a blessing this morning. Thank you guys for being here and just for celebrating Advent. I'm going to leave us with a blessing of peace, and then we're going to do something a little bit different this morning after the blessing. I just invite you to turn to the person next to you this morning and just say, peace be with you. As we head off to the courtyard, as we head off to all the other busy stuff we have to do, can we leave each other with peace this morning? So may the Lord of peace bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and give you peace. God bless you guys. Peace be with you. Thanks, little church. Love you.